is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Malcolm Hohnlein, my colleague and friend and co-host, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, and from Jerusalem, we're very pleased to welcome our longtime colleague, Ron Dermer, the Minister of Strategic Affairs of the State of Israel since 2022. Ron, a very good evening to you. Malcolm, I go right to you because you right now have been recently worried greatly about policy. And so the first question for you, Malcolm, good evening to both of you.
Good evening. And Ambassador and Minister Dermer, it's really a pleasure to have you. When you were ambassador to Washington, you appeared frequently here. So we've missed you. Could you clarify the status of the delegation you were leading to come to Washington? We've heard reports today that it's on, that it's off, and how you see the relationship with the United States today, with the U.S. government.
Well, the context of this issue with the delegation was that earlier this week there was a U.N. Security Council decision, a resolution that the United States abstained from. And we very much were hoping that the United States was going to veto that resolution, because in this resolution, for the first time, the issue of a ceasefire and a hostage deal were separated. They weren't linked together. That had been the American policy for the previous 5.5 months since the beginning of the war, that they would not support any ceasefire that was not connected to a hostage deal. Unfortunately, there was a change, and that was Monday. Now, I appreciated the fact that after that vote, all the United States senior officials and spokespeople said there is no change in U.S. policy. The problem, Malcolm, is that that's not what it says in the actual text of the resolution. And as you, a longtime observer and participant in a lot of these issues, you know that ultimately it's the text that matters in the coming months and years. That's actually what determines what the policy is and not what you say is the policy. So that was the problem. Now, once that decision was passed, the prime minister made a decision, I think the correct decision, to not send a delegation that I was going to lead to Washington. And that delegation was supposed to hear ideas from the president's team about the operation, a potential military operation in Rafah that Israel is determined to do. And the president asked the prime minister to send people to Washington where the U.S. can share their ideas of what should happen there and alternatives to a major military operation in Rafah because of their concern with the civilians there, because of their concern that you got to get humanitarian assistance to them. Now, we share those concerns. We just think they can be addressed in the context of a major military operation, just like we did when we operated in the northern part of the Gaza Strip and we operated in the central part of the Gaza Strip. And a delegation was planning to go, but once that decision was made in the UN Security Council and we were very disappointed by that decision, the prime minister felt that it was not right to send this delegation to Washington at that time because it would send the precisely wrong message to Hamas. Because Hamas is hoping to get a ceasefire without any hostage deal. They're hoping that the whole world is going to rally to stop Israel, to put massive pressure on Israel so that we don't go into Rafah, so that they get a ceasefire without any hostage deal, which is what their position has been since the beginning of the war. And I think to send a very clear message to Hamas that that wasn't the case, that Israel was determined to go ahead with its operation, he decided not to send that delegation to Washington. Now, where it stands now is we haven't finalized the rescheduling date. The U.S. reached out to us to reschedule that. We said, you know, in principle, we can find a date because the prime minister never said that he'd never do it. But we just haven't resolved it. And I can't tell you when exactly a rescheduled meeting will take place, whether it'll happen in Washington, whether it'll happen in Jerusalem, or whether it will happen, you know, through a secure video call or something. We'll have to work that out, hopefully, in the days ahead.
Mr. Minister, this is a 360-degree combat situation. We have a report of a West Bank terror shooting within these last hours. We have a report of Hezbollah rocket firing in northern Israel in these last hours. We have a report from Syria. The IAF has been interrupting the supply chain into Hezbollah through Syria. And we also have the prime minister saying that no one will be left behind. You're fighting on all fronts right now, and you're extremely vulnerable. Has the apparent contretemps in any way disrupted the planning to defend in any direction? The West Bank, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis are all still engaged, Mr. Minister.
Yes, that's true, because we're facing not just Hamas in the south in Gaza, but as you mentioned, there are many different fronts that Israel's involved in, and all of those fronts have one address that they lead to, and that's Iran. That's the Iranian axis. That axis leads you to Hezbollah, the Houthis, Hamas, Shia militias. They're trying to incite as much violence as they can in Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, and Israel is fighting back. And you know, that's the blessing that we have as a Jewish people since the rebirth of the state of Israel. It's not that before that there weren't people trying to destroy us and to kill us. You know, John, as you know something about Jewish history, and Malcolm knows a lot about Jewish history, October 7th events where 1,200 people are murdered in a pogrom on a single day, that happened many times over the centuries to Jews in different parts of the world, in the Middle East, in different places in Europe, in North Africa. There are many dark days like that. What is new with the birth of Israel is now the Jewish people have the ability to fight back. And you may think that we're vulnerable. Believe me, we're strong. We're standing extremely strong. We're prosecuting this war very effectively in Gaza. And I think kudos to the Israeli Defense Forces and our intelligence and soldiers. They're doing a fantastic job fighting terrorism. And we're defending ourselves on multiple fronts, and we're going to continue to do that. I think on October 7th, many of our enemies thought that Israel was weak and that Israel perhaps could be destroyed. I think they're getting a very, very different view as we march towards victory, which is what we're doing in Gaza. We have destroyed 18 of the 24 battalions there. It's important for your listeners to understand that in Gaza, Hamas is not a terror organization. They're a terror army. And what we set out to do on October 7th, after that horrific and atrocious attack on us, we set out to dismantle this terrorist army. And that's exactly what we're doing. And we're taking it apart piece by piece. And I assure you that we're going to finish the job. And in finishing the job there in Gaza, in dismantling this terrorist army, I think that's going to send a very powerful message to all of Israel's enemies, that if you do what Hamas did on October 7th, you are not going to live to tell about it. That's exactly what we're going to do. The country is united. I know you've probably been here several times before. Malcolm's here many, many times, but he can attest to how united the country is to prosecute this war towards a victory. And that's what we're committed to doing.
We have about a minute.
It is absolutely true that is what I saw. And I see that the polls show that in America, 79% of Americans support Israel, overwhelmingly get the message. But there's a lot of confusion about the Rafah issue because of a lot of disinformation and misinformation. Could you just clarify what is the issue about Israel going into Rafah?
We have 1 minute, Ron.
Well, I would... Sure. Well, 6 weeks ago, I don't think anyone on the planet knew where Rafah was, and now it's become one of the most popular cities because everybody knows about it. This is the last bastion of Hamas. It is in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, very on the border, effectively, with Egypt, and that's Hamas's last stand. And as I said, there are 24 terror battalions. Each battalion has about 1,000 terrorists. We have dismantled, defeated 18 of them, 19 of them. There are five left in the Gaza Strip, and four of them are in Rafah. There were about 4,000 terrorists at the beginning. Now they've probably swollen their ranks to about 8,000 as terrorists from other parts of the Gaza Strip have went in there. And what we have to do is we have to finish the job in Rafah. You cannot leave 20% or 25% of this army intact, because if you do that, they're just going to regroup, reconstitute themselves, and take over the Gaza Strip again and do what they've promised to do, which is October 7th, over and over and over and over again. What we have to do is we have to finish the job, and we are determined to do it, and we will do it with every care for civilians. We will get them out of harm's way. We will get the humanitarian assistance to them, but there is no substitute for victory. You cannot leave 20% of a fire raging after you've doused 80% of the flames and then simply walk away and hope for the best. We're going to dismantle the terror army of Hamas, and we're very close to victory, and we hope as we move towards victory that the United States will stand by Israel's side, because our victory is America's victory. That's how it will be seen in the region. And here, we're on a path to victory, and hopefully the United States will stand with us until the end.
Ron Dermer, Israeli Minister of Strategic Affairs, online. I'm John Backman.